Let words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. When we meet for morning prayer, the service often begins with that opening sentence, a beautiful verse that serves as a powerful reminder of God's very real presence in this church, and the hushed, reverential awe that should fill this place where the Creator of heaven and earth is worshiped and adored. The one true God, whom heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain, is here in our midst. And as we consider his infinite perfection, his perfect holiness, his sovereign authority and dominion, as creatures before our Creator, let all the earth keep silence before him. The Lord is in his holy temple. And while we meet as a congregation here this morning, let us keep that truth in mind, remembering Christ's own promise, how he said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Those are comfortable words, especially when you speak them in a historic church where generations of Christians have worshiped for over 150 years. Our Lord's faithful promise and his continual presence bring peace. But as we consider our gospel reading this morning, for a moment, we set aside the comfortable and gentle images of God in the person of Jesus Christ. The lesson we read today does not bring to mind that silent night in Bethlehem or Jesus calling the little children to come to him, or an image of the good shepherd walking home with the wayward lamb laid gently on his shoulders. This morning, we are confronted with a different image, a chaotic and disturbing image of a man who is determined and strong. The man is Jesus, and he's striking out with a whip of cords, driving out those who bought and sold in the temple, pouring out the coins of the money changers, and overturning their tables. Our gospel lesson this morning describes a day in Jerusalem in which the Lord was in his holy temple. And those who gathered there did not recognize the truth that God was in their midst. The passage we read begins by speaking of Jesus drawing near to the magnificent city of Jerusalem. And as he beheld the great capital with all its pride, splendor, and the indescribable glory of the temple, Jesus wept over it. He cried openly for these people who would not recognize the arrival of their long-expected Messiah, the Son of God who had come to save them. Christ came to them humbly and personally with his message of peace. But they despised and rejected him. As St. John writes, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. God came to his people, and he walked among them just as he promised he would. But they failed to receive their Savior because their hearts were far from him. Now the people professed their belief in the one true God. They claimed him as their creator and preserver. They honored him with their lips through constant prayer and public worship in the streets and the synagogues. And while these outward acts seemed like true devotion, they were not, because they had no genuine love for God. There was no hushed, reverential awe in his holy temple. They no longer cared about communion with him in that sacred place. They bought and sold animals for sacrifice there. And in doing so, kind of made forgiveness look like something that could be bought and sold. They exchanged money for profit right there in the temple court. And in the words of Jesus, turned God's house of prayer into a den of thieves. In the outward acts that were taking place in the temple, we see a reflection of the inward spiritual condition of the people who Jesus so forcefully drove out. He expelled them from his house because the religion they practiced there, it was no longer a way for all the earth to keep silence before him. To worship, to adore, to commune with the Creator of heaven and earth. Religion had become a tool used to further their own personal agenda. It was a way for them to get what they could from God instead of a way to offer themselves and their souls and bodies to Him, instead of a way to enter into a relationship with the one true God, to get to know Him, to love Him. The truth is, according to the first and great commandment, the heart is what God requires. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Our whole heart is the real gift God desires, and that which man constantly tries to keep for himself by substituting that kind of outward religion for the true love and obedience that God desires. Now, when we consider all that we've discussed so far, we can certainly say this. Hindsight is 20/20. It's easy for us, from our perspective, to look back and see everything that the Jews of Jesus' day missed. 2,000 years after the fact, we look back and wonder how they could have failed to recognize that God was in their midst. We question their unfaithfulness. We're puzzled by their decision to reject Him. The hypocrisy of their outward religion sickens us. And we perceive no genuine love for God in their hearts. Basically, we're quick to point out everything that they did wrong. Every way they failed to receive the Son of God who had come to save them. But what about us? If you really think about it, the world around us is not so different than the world that was around them. Consider the buying and the selling, the exchange of money for profit, the way the demanding reality of everyday life can blind us, just like it blinded them, to the point where we no longer really recognize the joy and wonder with which God alone fills our lives. And we begin to live as though He doesn't matter. Remember, the words of the gospel, they were written for us. They're written for our benefit and for our instruction. And the passage we heard today clearly emphasizes the truth of the importance of taking our faith seriously. For it is only by the grace of God, through faith, that we will recognize, that we will receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God who has come to save us. Through faith, we see what they did not. Through faith, we recognize the truth that the Lord is in His holy temple. Through faith, we reach out toward holy mysteries far beyond our comprehension. Through faith, we partake in this holy communion and worthily receive the most precious body and blood of Jesus Christ, are filled with His grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with Him, that He may dwell in us and we in Him. It is only by the grace of God, through faith, that the Christian will recognize the truth that today, through the person and work of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is in his holy temple. And that temple is you. The one true God, whom heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain, he is not only here in our midst. We are made one body with him, that he may dwell in us, and we in him. And his promise is to be with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord is in his holy temple this morning and every morning. He never leaves you. And so the Christian can't separate Sunday from Monday or religion from the rest of the week. Our daily life, every thought, every word, every deed is to be guided by our Lord through the indwelling Holy Spirit of the one true God. Now, that kind of union and communion between God and man came at the highest cost. And those who take their faith seriously continually reflect on the price our Savior paid, the blood he shed, the love he showed on the cross at Calvary. 2,000 years ago, when the Lord visited his holy temple, those who gathered there did not receive him. They didn't even recognize him because their hearts were far from him. May the good Lord prevent us from that kind of error. By his grace, may we be led to open our whole heart to him to the end that we may live every day in union and communion with Almighty God, that we may rejoice in his goodness and praise his holy name both in this life and in the life to come. To him, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.